And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning. It's cold outside. A little chilly this morning, boys.
A little bit.
I ain't ready for that.
Yeah, I can deal with this. Fall. But I was at my kid's soccer game. By the way, being a parent of a goalie is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
But shut out yesterday,
oh,
so
boy.
So good job, Brennan. But I was not prepared, and it was supposed to be like 75. But you know, it's like
windy.
A game that starts at 4, the wind's blowing, and by the end of the game, it actually felt arctic. But I can live with 40s and 50s.
Well, I guess anything,
that's good sleeping weather.
Like from your vantage point, coming from Michigan, like you don't have to deal with that anymore. You're in good shape.
Yeah, I do think I've gotten a lot wimpier down here. But, yeah, I mean, I don't understand anyone who, and I think it's, for me, getting older, I will take 110 and humid and miserable.
Oh, me too.
I'll take it over, like, you know, if it's 5 degrees out and the wind chill of -2 or worse than that, because it does get worse than that, it is absolute pain to get into a vehicle in the morning, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it hurts. Like, I don't want anything that hurts. I mean, look, it's a little uncomfortable when it gets really hot, but I can't understand people who prefer the extreme cold to the extreme hot.
It's one of the,
don't get it.
It's one of the big mysteries in life to me. I'm on the same page with you. Munson, are you a big you a big cold guy, big hot guy? What do you think?
Well, I like wearing hoodies, so.
Okay.
I do. I love wearing hoodies. So I'll
so you like fall weather, like fall football weather?
Yeah, I'm more of a fall guy, not the Chris Carter fall guy, not that guy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like a fall guy, like weather-wise fall guy. You know? Did you not get that reference?
No, but I was gonna say not a Lee Majors fall guy. You guys wouldn't get that reference.
No,
Lee Majors fall guy, not a Lee Majors fall guy.
I understood Munson's reference though.
So you didn't understand that reference.
I didn't.
Chris Carter did like I guess it was a rookie symposium back in the day.
Yeah.
This was like a couple years
ago. This actually rings a bell.
Yeah, I was in college.
Yeah, actually. It wasn't that long ago.
Because I wrote a report on it. And then he was like, yeah, you guys, got to get you a fall guy.
Got to make sure you got a fall guy.
Make sure you got a fall guy in this league. You know, guy that can take that charge for you.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but no.
Thanks, Chris.
I am a fall weather guy. I'm not a like winter kind of guy because like – I get sick easy in cold weather. That's why I'm like, yo, you got to turn down this AC. Like, because I get sick when it's cold. And so I just like the warm weather where I can just like, it's a little chilly enough for me to wear a hoodie.
Well, The Fall Guy starring Lee Majors, you guys should Google that.
Okay.
It's not as good as That Fall Guy, though. But it was a pretty good 80s, you know, pretty good 80s show. Nah. Anybody out there like Lee Majors and The Fall Guy? Let me know. Tweet at us.
Tweet at us. Get us on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and let us know your thoughts on The Fall Guy. We got some breaking news in the NFL to kick off the show, guys. This coming from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. The Colts say they are working remotely this morning while going through the process of confirming several initial positive tests for COVID-19. So we saw yesterday the Falcons, Schefter came out and reported there were 4 positive tests. That ended up not being the case. It was 1, and it was a staffer. Tom Pelissero this morning say the Colts working remotely while going through the process of confirming several initial positive tests for COVID-19. So this continuing to crop up throughout the NFL.
Yeah, and it seems to be sort of tied to the fact that there is a surge of the virus in areas. Actually, I'm going to read this tweet from Brett Kelman, who has done a great job of covering the coronavirus here for the Tennessean. It's a daily thing with him. In his tweet, he says, Tennessee reports 2,289 new infections, daily positive rate of 9.5%. That's the highest statewide rate since early September. 36 more deaths. Death toll is 2,864. Basically, this is, his tweet is, I am running out of new ways to explain that this is bad. The state's now reporting 19,799 known active infections. That is up 40% since October 1st. 40% in 2 weeks. In other words, we're basically as bad now as we've been since the June time when it was bad.
Yep.
And so whatever, you know, will reach people on that, I'll say one thing that will quickly change is people being in Nissan Stadium. that'll quickly end. So it's there's a surge here. There's a surge in other areas too. And, you know, this is certainly, if you look at it from a Titans perspective, and it's not a surprise, we said it at the time, but it's happening here and there and there and other places, and it's going to, I don't know if anyone will have an outbreak like they did. Hopefully not, but here we go. It just, it's on and on. And pretty soon, week 18 and beyond is going to be in existence.
Yeah, you would certainly think so, no matter how much the NFL doesn't want that to be the case. I mean, we talked about it through the Titans saga that they were going through with the outbreak. I mean, eventually, I mean, you're just going to have to make that happen if you're the NFL. Like, we'll see what comes out with the Colts and the extent of how many positive tests they have. But you always, I mean, the other thing you worry about outside of just the initial health of people is when you have positive tests and having to close down facilities this late into the week, it's hard for that not to disrupt a game day on a Sunday at this point.
I'm trying to, what is the Colts, what is the Colts game? I should know this.
Let me pull that up real quick.
No, regardless, yeah, that game could be impacted. We still don't know with Atlanta, right?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of hard decisions.
Colts-Bengals.
Colts-Bengals, okay.
Colts at home in that game. So, I mean, I guess the good part is, if there is a good part, they're not traveling. So it's not like you're, you know, testing positive on a Saturday and then getting in a plane together. So that's good, I suppose. But not good news late in the week for the Colts to be testing positive right now.
Right, and it's interesting. So they put out an announcement on this, actually, and they're working. But they're doing – so right now they're doing the testing to confirm it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, here the way it kind of went is you got the confirmation tests and then, you know, then that's – you knew it was a confirmed positive. The Colts are telling us there's positives that they're trying to confirm. But I would assume we'd get news on that real soon this morning.
We saw yesterday on the show talked about Le'Veon Bell being released. And, you know, Titans fans warning, maybe do you take a shot at Le'Veon Bell? We had a couple of texts about that. Where does he end up? Le'Veon Bell signs with the Kansas City Chiefs. Did you see that one coming? I think it's interesting.
I heard them mentioned, and I was like, okay. But I didn't – you know, I just kind of assumed, I mean, the Chiefs are set, right? But it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense from both sides. I think with Le'Veon – you know, he went to the Jets and he got his free agency. It hasn't worked out at all like he's wanted. So now you got a chance to go get a ring. And you know, I just wasn't sure, is it going to be prioritized for him, something like that, go to a contender or go to a place you know you'll be the featured back? But he's going after a ring. And because from the Chiefs' perspective, I mean, I think the rookie, Edwards-Helaire, has just been great. I think he fits them perfectly. But they could use another back, and so that's a nice combo. And, I mean, you talk about a guy who catches the ball and who fits with what they do. And also, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is just such an interesting player. I mean, again, I covered him in college when I looked at him as a power back. And that's what he was. He was a power back who got massive carries. And he was very shifty and could catch the ball, but, you know, he's a physical guy. And the amazing thing, too, I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, when was that, 20 years ago? You know, he was a freshman at Michigan State in 2011. And by the way, a two-star guy that Michigan State fans were angry they signed because they didn't get James White because they lost out on him to Wisconsin. Yep. And they're like, who is this, Le'Veon Bell? Two-star? Get out of here. And he immediately comes in and everyone's like, good. Oh, this guy's great. Like right away. Oh, this guy's
what's funny
really,
about
really
that,
good.
So my buddy is a huge, huge Steelers fan. And this was around the time when Le'Veon Bell was getting drafted.
Yeah.
This was around the time also Eddie Lacy was in the draft. And he was telling me, dude, he was like, I hate this Le'Veon Bell pick, man. I wanted Eddie Lacy because he's an Alabama fan and he's a Steelers fan. And I was like, dude, this dude carried the ball like 50 times at Michigan State. Like, he'll be fine. Yeah. He's going to be really good. And he's like, no, I just wanted Eddie Lacy. And then now look how both of those careers have shaped.
Yeah, it's
Le'Veon Bell still in the league. You know, obviously, he's been around.
I thought Eddie Lacy was going to be sweet, too.
Thought Eddie Lacy was going to be good, too, but it's just he couldn't.
Not going to go on the Hall of Fame of Green Bay Packer running backs.
Yeah,
Eddie Lacy.
Just couldn't keep the weight off, that's all. I mean, he was good, but he just couldn't keep the weight off. And I was like, dude, like, Le'Veon Bell is going to be a workhorse. He's going to be – I'm not like a Jerome Bettis-style player, but they can give him the ball 30, 40 times a game, and that's just kind of the work rate he's going to have. And he turned out to be that way.
And so, it's only, and that's the thing. Like, so, I mean, he's still only 27, you know, yeah. right? Or is he 27 or is he 28?
He's 28 now.
You know, he's got good years ahead of him. He hasn't looked good with the Jets at all. But again, is it just because they have nothing going? And it's just, I know last year when I watched them play, it was like teams are, they don't, they're just like, just don't let Le'Veon do anything, yeah. you know? That's going to be interesting. And it's just like a rich get richer thing for the Chiefs if it works out. And he.
And I like, I, we know the money is not going to be that much for them. But I had some people like on Twitter yesterday, like, do they have a salary cap?
Right,
in Kansas
right.
City, like, yeah. Is there any restriction on them whatsoever in Kansas City?
It's amazing. It's like them and the Golden Knights. But yeah, that's that. Do we have terms yet?
I
we
don't
have
seen terms. Any terms yet.
Yeah, because you know, of course, he's trying to double dip here. You know, it's, I mean, he knows he's getting paid with the Jets, but still wants to get paid more. But yeah, how much more money do the Chiefs have? That is a good point. That's going to be interesting. That you know, he's a good. Player or has been a really good player, and maybe he will be again. And just at the very least, a great luxury depth pick for them.
Well, I think it's interesting to see because, like, if he even approaches looking like the Le'Veon Bell that he was in Pittsburgh, I mean, you add that weapon to this Kansas City offense that they have already got. Because, look, I mean, let's be honest, it's really hard to judge somebody with the New York Jets. Like, you don't really know what they have left in the tank. I mean, you can try. And I think Le'Veon Bell, he had a couple of good games last year. But at some point, if you're Le'Veon Bell or you're Sam Darnold or whoever, you realize that no matter what you do, things are not going to go well with the New York Jets. They're just cursed at this point. And Adam Gase is a big part of that right now. But that franchise is just cursed. So I do wonder, like, if we see a rejuvenated version of Le'Veon Bell with Kansas City.
I'm sure. I mean, if you're him, think about how much better your life is right now.
Yeah.
Just not having to deal with the losing, it can't have been easy. And now you go into, I mean, you can go get a ring with an amazing offense with, you know, the best quarterback in the league. And that was my only question was with him, you know, cause you got to think also about, you know, featuring yourself and all that stuff and getting opportunity. Was it going to be that or this? I like this pick for him. Go there, be part of a great team, and show that you're still good, and then, you know, probably get another deal out of that.
We're going to get to the Titans here in just a second, but I do want to touch on the Dodgers-Braves last night. Munson, I think your Dodgers may be in a little bit of trouble at the moment.
Man, look, I'm not even going to talk about it. I got mine. That's all I'm going to say.
You did.
I got the one I wanted, and then that's what it is.
You're walking away from the Dodgers?
Well, I don't know. I'm not walking away. I'm always be a fan. Look, from a guy that's been a Raider fan his whole life, like, yeah. It's kind of hard to just, like, disassociate yourself from a team that's losing in the playoffs because the Raiders haven't even been in the playoffs. So, like, I'm not one of those fans that just disassociates themselves.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, like, you're not going to be a Dodgers fan, but you're walking away from the idea that they're going to win this series. You're conceding the series of the Braves.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see at 7:45.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Is that when we're calling our shots?
That's when we're calling our shots.
Okay.
So that was a nice tease there by
Munson. But look, I mean, win or lose, still a Dodgers fan. But I will say this, though. I will stick up for Kershaw.
Yes, I was going to do that.
Because it's not fair that he has this tag on him of he's bad in the playoffs. Like, to me, it's more of how you manage Kershaw. Like, he was perfect for five innings. He was great. And I know people are like, well, this Bryce Wilson guy that looks like, you know, Kenny Powers on Eastbound and Down, you know, and like, he's losing to this guy. I'm like, he had a good five innings. The problem is, and I even tweeted this way before the sixth inning, I'm like, the Dodgers cannot score runs when Kershaw's pitching. They cannot extend leads when Kershaw's pitching. And it puts him in a bad situation because not only can you not extend the lead, but then you keep him in long to where he's already at 80-something pitches, and then you keep him in and then in the sixth inning, and then all of a sudden you get what happened in the sixth inning.
Yeah, the pressure extends to the lineup a lot of times in these situations too. And when everybody knows that there's a guy, you know, who's under all this pressure, that, you know, you're gripping that bat a little tighter sometimes too.
Yeah.
That happens.
It does happen. And
it's not fair for the guy.
And, I mean, the other part of that is the Braves, they can hit, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
They can hit really well. So we'll see if the Dodgers are able to stay alive in that. By the way, the Houston Astros – stay alive with a walk-off by Carlos Correa. that series now 3-2. So
they're just going to win it all.
Just come back.
Perfect 2020 outcome, actually, that the Astros would win it all. Like, we all thought they're done, and then they come back. The perfect 2020 outcome. Perfect.
When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Some good news for them yesterday on the COVID-19 list. We'll react to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You get Jeffrey Simmons activated off the reserve COVID list today. Getting some of these guys back, Cam Daquan, how helpful can that be to your defense? And where do you try to look to improve now getting some of these guys back?
Well, it certainly can't hurt. You know, Jeff was doing a lot of good things in there for us. Just trying to get the roster back to, to close to full strength as we possibly can be. Working through some things from the game on Tuesday. So we'll see where these guys are at after practice. We always look to improve, each and every week, whether that's on special teams, defense, an improved third down. There's a lot of things to work on in all three phases.
That was Mike Vrabel on the return of Jeffrey Simmons from the COVID-19 list. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking you through the Titans and Texans matchup this weekend. And Joe, potentially having Jeffrey Simmons back for that game would be huge. I think the fact that he was activated yesterday, I'm not an expert in the ramp up period, but I would think he'd be available on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that he talked to us, to me, was an indicator. And then, he's out there on the practice field, so I expect him to be out there Sunday, which is massive for the Titans, for certain. I think the biggest thing about practice yesterday, and I put out some lovely videos,
a
little running back drill and a little DB punch out the ball drill with Christian Fulton.
At Joe Rex Road on
Twitter.
See,
both of those videos had some – thank you.
Yeah.
But you saw Dante Foreman, who's been on the practice squad at running back. I think he's probably going to be on, I would think, active roster with Darrington Evans on the IR. So, people remember, of course, Dante Foreman, great player at Texas, and actually a former Texan too, but Fulton out there. But the biggest thing for me is the thing that we're not allowed to take pictures or videos on this field. But on this side field, while we were out there, was Adoree Jackson. Now, I'm no expert. I'm no doctor. He's close.
Okay.
I'll say that. And he looked good out there. And I'm not going to sit here and say he will definitely be there for the Steelers game, but I wouldn't be surprised at all based on what I saw yesterday, which would be massive, of course, also. I'm using the word massive a lot in this segment. But to get him back for that game, of course, they could use him Sunday too. But Fulton being back is a big deal for Sunday. I mean, the more guys you can have who can run in this matchup and the next matchup, the better. And they may actually be whole with, the Butler, Fulton, Adoree secondary that we still haven't seen this season.
Joe, you brought up Darrington Evans being placed on IR means he will miss at least the next three games. And it just seems like the hamstring injury has just been nagging away at him. Maybe this is a time to shut him down. You get that hamstring fully healed back up and then go from there. But obviously not the start to the career that Darrington Evans has envisioned so far. I do think that he was going to be, a pretty significant part of their plan these first few weeks of the season. I mean, obviously he's not going to be the featured back. But I do think there are some things that Arthur Smith has in his playbook that he just hadn't been able to get to yet because Evans hasn't been healthy.
I totally agree. And I think we kind of thought that he might get a lot of work the other night. I think he was going to, too. And he had a really nice play where he hit the edge, and you see the difference. And it's just nice to have a change of pace of Derrick Henry that, he got to that edge fast, and got around the edge, got him a first down. But, the hamstring thing is just can just nag him. And I think it nagged Corey Davis a lot of his rookie year, if I have that right. Rookie year. Right now the draft guys, of course Isaiah Wilson now is back, and they're going to try to see if they can get any kind of role for him. But your third round pick Evans, Fulton has missed time, but Fulton is about to become, I think, a very important player. Real quick on this injury list, so remember how massive that injury list was.
Yep.
Now you have a lot more clarity on that after yesterday. A lot of participation from a lot of those guys. I would say the guys to watch now, we just talked about Evans, of course, is out. No A.J. Brown out there yesterday. No Jadeveon Clowney out there yesterday. Brown, we know it's, you know, knee. And, again, I think today is just that they will tell you. Like, is it really a problem where it's re-aggravated and, like, you know, it's going to be this thing? Or are they just being really careful? I think today will tell that story. Clowney, knee slash illness. And then Daquan Jones with a foot also did not practice. He was on the bike, but
and no, just to clarify,
those are key guys. Those are key guys, obviously.
Yeah, and just to clarify, for those, you know, when we were having this discussion a couple weeks ago, when the injury report says illness, it's not COVID-19. You've got to report that. So it's just a secondary illness outside of COVID-19.
Yeah. So all that huge list of guys, all those other, you know, Jonathan Joseph and Lawan and, you know, Janu, Vaccaro, Butler, like all those guys were out there yesterday. Now, a lot of them are listed as limited participation, but for the most part, that's a good sign. You know, obviously, A.J. Brown, Jadeveon Clowney, very important guys for this game and moving forward. And you saw how important A.J. Brown was the other night. You know, hopefully for him, it's just like, let's not push this. You came back, had this, you know, big-time game, short week, get you out there a little bit Friday, and he's fine. But, yeah, I mean, if he's not out there today, then – it looks a little bit more like either a re-aggravation or at least just like this is something that might linger.
Do we think there's any chance that Corey Davis comes off the COVID list in the next few days, or is he more likely for Pittsburgh at this point, would you think?
Well, I don't think – I mean, I think even if he came off the list today, I don't think he'd play Sunday.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I guess you would. I guess you could keep that possible if he came off today. You could, I guess, look at today, tomorrow as that ramp-up period. There's a lot of things that you still have to do when you come off the list. At this point, I'd count him out for Sunday. I suppose it's possible. I would definitely think that based on the timing of everything, he'd come off soon here and probably be good for Pittsburgh.
I mean, they've had some good news since the game on Sunday. I mean, you look at this roster right now, it's starting to get closer to normal, so we'll see if that continues to happen. Maybe they get some more guys off the list today. We'll have to wait and see from that vantage point. Joe, the more I keep thinking about this game against the Texans, the more I think it's very interesting for the Titans. I mean, the short week part of it is one thing, but I think just the matchup itself, they've always been a team since Deshaun Watson's been there that's given them trouble. Now, again, I recognize that a lot of that's been because they can't cover DeAndre Hopkins, and not very many people can. And he's not there. But this is a different receiving core than I think they've seen all season long up until this point with the speed they bring. And I'm interested to see how they're going to match up against that.
Yeah, I mean, because Fuller is a problem, you know. And Cooks is coming off this huge game, and those guys have speed. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the Bills, I think out of necessity and maybe a little bit out of they thought they could – pull a few over on Josh Allen. They did not play much man at all in that game. I'm assuming it's probably the same idea here, but I think Watson is a guy who is probably better at poking holes in a zone than Allen. Now, look, Allen still had a really good night. I mean, you know, how many third downs did he convert?
But 13.
There you go. Yes, thank you. Out
You're
of
welcome.
17.
You're welcome.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, I think, but that's still like your better option than giving up deep shots, right? And just really getting burned out there because you can't run with these guys. So it'll be the game plan will be interesting. It's interesting with the Watson and the Titans too. They've had some great games against him, and they've had some horrific games against him. You know,
yeah,
Vrabel too. So, but even like last year, they did a great job the whole game, and that fourth quarter, it was him, but it was also Hopkins.
When we come back, there is a specific skill set the Texans have offensively that scares the daylight out of me if I'm a Titans fan. We'll get into that a little bit on the other side of the break. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach, how delicate is the balance between getting after a guy like Deshaun Watson and keeping containment? How big of a task is that?
I mean, it's a huge task. He's a special talent, great person. You know, so we're gonna have to try to do a better job than what we did last week with Josh. And every week is a new challenge. You know, this week is obviously Houston. You know, coming off a great performance, big win. You know, they played complimentary. They got turnovers and they took advantage of them. They mixed tempos. They got big plays. They scored touchdowns in the red zone. So it'll be difficult with Deshaun, like it is a lot of quarterbacks that are athletic and talented. It's just that he's the challenge this week.
That's Titans coach Mike Vrabel on the challenge of defending Deshaun Watson. And Joe, there's a part of Deshaun Watson's game that just terrifies me. And it's not necessarily him taking off and running, even though you do have to factor that in, and he's certainly very good at doing that. But we've talked about the lack of pass rush that the Titans have generated and, you know, trying to get home and finish on those plays. Deshaun Watson, to me, if he's not the best in the league at it, he's certainly in the top five extending plays. I mean, he is unbelievable at extending plays. And even when you get your hands on him, he's tough to bring down. To me, if with those receivers they have out there and the speed they have, Watson's ability to keep plays alive, either in the pocket or finding a way to get outside of the pocket, that to me, if I'm a Titans fan, that scares the daylights out of me. Because if you give those receivers long enough to run, they can create some problems for you. The Titans have to make sure that if they are able to get in the backfield and get around Deshaun Watson, number one, you keep him contained. But number two, you get hands on him, you got to bring him down in this game.
I mean, it's amazing, really, back-to-back, that this Titans defense, in a span of 6 days, I had to do that on my hands.
That was good.
On my hands. In a span of 6 days, you know, on a Tuesday and then on a Sunday, you got to deal with back-to-back quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson, because it's a little different. Josh Allen is hard to bring down, I think, sometimes because he's just really big and strong.
Yep.
But I think I agree. I think Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback in the league. I think better than Mahomes even at improvising and just making something out of, like, just being so creative. And if some of that is also obviously, you know, like these scramble situations with receivers, everybody works on that. And honestly, I haven't seen if maybe this year it's not as good because they don't have Hopkins. That's, if I recall correctly, that game last year, at least a couple of those big plays with Hopkins were, it was exactly that. They had it covered. They had it locked down. They had him rushed. They couldn't grab him. And eventually, he and Hopkins basically just playground, figured something out and made plays. I mean, what do you do about that? There were a couple of plays you're like, there's nothing that you can expect anybody to do if you can't get him to the ground. So, yeah, it's a huge challenge. I mean, you look at the rest of the Titans' schedule, they don't. Really, I think these two guys, I mean, Lamar Jackson is a different kind of challenge, of course, on November 22nd, but it's not this. I mean, these two guys are the toughest two of their whole schedule in that regard. And it doesn't suit their defense very well right now with the issues they're having.
It doesn't. I guess if you're a Titans fan, the argument you can make on the other side of that is, yeah, you know, when you've seen Deshaun Watson in the past, he's been able to escape, he's been able to extend plays, but he always had that security blanket down the field to where even if DeAndre Hopkins is covered, most of the time he's winning that jump ball. I mean, he just is. He's that good.
Yeah.
You don't have that this year. And I wonder at this point, even though I know Brandon Cooks had a breakout game last week, where's the trust level at with the receiving core right now from Deshaun Watson? Certainly it's not what it was with DeAndre Hopkins. There's no way it could be. But I do wonder if he's developed – you know, a significant rapport with a Brandon Cooks or with a Will Fuller. You know, Will Fuller's been there for a while, but he's also been hurt a lot. I just wonder where the trust factor is from Deshaun Watson from that vantage point.
Yeah, Cooks and Cobb. Yeah, you would think with Fuller. I mean, Fuller was always the guy who, you know, stretched the field for them. And, again, like, when Fuller has been healthy in his career, that offense has just been lethal, but again, with Fuller and Hopkins together. So, yeah, this probably it probably will get better through the year. And, you know, you would think it would you would develop that and it would be more dangerous as you go. But he's going to make plays. I mean, a lot of this to me is, one, you can't let it go over your head, you know. You've got to be willing to concede something, and you can't let the ball go over your head, and then you got to get stopped in the red zone. You know, obviously the field gets tighter. That's where you hope that you're going to play more man, but you got to hope you can get home with the pass rush, and there's just less a field for him to, you know, to drop bombs on you. You got to make them kick field goals. But I look at this game right now, and I don't like the Texans matchup for their defense either, but I really think we could be looking at a lot of points on both sides.
Do you think we're giving the Texans too much credit? Like, we had Aaron Reese on yesterday from The Athletic, and he painted basically a pretty dire picture for the Texans. They're 1-4. They got the win against Jacksonville, but Aaron Reese made it sound like, yeah, it's Jacksonville. That's why they won the game.
Right.
It wasn't really anything they did that's special. You look at the matchup, and obviously, you know, Aaron pointed to, I think, a thing most people point to when they're playing the Titans is Derrick Henry's going to be a problem. And Derrick Henry, to this point, I mean, he's been a problem. He has not been the same problem he was late last year into the playoffs type of Derrick Henry. But I do look at this defense for Houston. I think the Titans have an opportunity to put up a bunch of points in this game. Are we giving Houston too much credit offensively for being a 1-4 team?
Well, I kind of get that, but I believe in Deshaun Watson. And again, I just look the Vikings game, and honestly, the Vikings are pretty good. You know, the Vikings are, you know, they're the best freaking 1-4 team we've ever seen.
Yeah, buddy.
The Vikings and Texans, two amazing 1-4 teams. But really, like, the Texans, the first three games, you know, it's just a terrible draw from the schedule maker. Actually, their entire schedule. We went over it yesterday. It's unbelievable, really. And some of these, and you know, obviously there's a formula for the schedule, and some of these teams are better than we thought they'd be, and based on the performance last year, the schedule is what it is, but it's bad. I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying, and yeah, Aaron, like he said, I mean, they beat the Jags, so calm down. But I think their offense is scary, and I think that it also, part of this game discussion is just the Titans situation. I think there's a lot of things that set up for them to have a challenge here. The short week, all the injuries are even if a lot of them are minor, it's still and then you may be missing some other key guys that we didn't anticipate here too. We'll find out today. You know, AJ Brown, Jadeveon Clowney, two big names that you want to see on the practice field today. So I hear what you're saying. They're not very good. I don't like their defense, and not David Johnson's whatever. But Deshaun Watson is still Deshaun Watson. So I'm sticking with that.
And the other part is, like, it seems like it was at least a contentious environment in that building with Bill O'Brien. Like, we heard about J.J. Watt, you know, screaming at Bill O'Brien before the Pittsburgh game. I'm not sure he was the most popular guy in that locker room. Now that he's gone, you know, you're 1-0 without him, albeit against Jacksonville. But I wonder if there is a bit of a, you know, kind of a freedom in there, a looser environment among the players, and maybe they play that way. And play very dangerously that way. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of this too.
I agree. No, absolutely. I think you see that a lot in sports when you have when a coach is so there's so much negativity around a coach and a GM and Bill O'Brien. I mean, that's all the players here too. So even if Texans fans aren't down on the players, all they hear is, get this guy out of here. This guy's ruined our franchise, et cetera. You know, so when you remove that, and now that's no longer the discussion, and now it's like, okay, what's the future look like? Who are we going to get? First of all, you just have less negativity around. And, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they're 1-4. People are pretty much discounting them. So if you're them, it's like, hey, let's just go show people what's up. Maybe they aren't capable. I mean, their defense is not very good. Their offensive line is okay, but it's not great. Maybe they aren't capable. But I think they're going to play loose, and I think they're going to beat some people. This is not a 4-12 team.
It's not, and you brought up J.J. Watt yesterday to Aaron Reese, and it's been interesting to watch because, look, we all remember J.J. Watt at the height of his powers, the most dominant defensive player in the league, Hall of Fame player. I mean, he's been exceptional when he's been healthy in his career. Health has been a huge challenge for him the past few years, and I've watched him play a little bit this year. And he just doesn't quite have the same burst to him. He doesn't look like the same guy.
Yeah.
And you wonder if J.J. Watt's starting to enter the downslope. You know, and
oh,
you
could
make that – you could easily make that argument with the injuries and everything. But, you know, to Aaron's point yesterday, when he's been on the field, still been pretty good, still been pretty productive. He just doesn't quite look like the same guy so far this year.
Yeah, he's got a couple sacks. But, yeah, I agree. He's not the same guy. You're still way better with him than without him. But he's not this – oh, my gosh, we need three blockers for this guy, you know, that he was for a few years.
I mean, the most dominant performance I have ever seen in an NFL football game was J.J. Watt going up against Will Svitek for the Titans. Zach Mettenberger was the quarterback. I think J.J. Watt may have hit Zach Mettenberger 25 times in that game.
Oh, my goodness.
He scored a touchdown. I mean, it was the most dominant game from anybody I've ever seen. And I felt so bad for Will Svitek out there. If you're Titans fans, you probably don't even know who that is. But that was their left tackle situation that day. Didn't go well.
So remind me then that this is pre-Luan.
This is
Luan's Wisenhunt. Hurt.
This is pre-Luan.
Pre-Luan. Okay. Yeah.
Like 2014.
Yeah,
it was not
that's
good.
Right around. Yeah, he was. Oh, he had a run there. I mean, you think about what that defense was when they had Clowney, him, you know, Merciless coming on. When they had everything going, it was a fearsome front. So it's not that anymore.
When we come back, David Poyle, Nashville Predators general manager, spoke yesterday to the media and had some interesting comments about the future of the team. We'll discuss what those were next. But first, make sure you're there Saturday, November 14th to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on a certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can show your support and participate virtually as well. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by an Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is it fair to say that you are finished in free agency, and two, how is this team better today than it was at the end of the postseason?
As I just said, I think we're open, and we have cap space. I think we're going to look for opportunities. I think I'm making less calls, but I'm still receiving calls from agents about free agents, about teams that still like to make some changes. There are some teams that have to do some things cap wise, but if this was it, I think we've made a lot of changes, and I think we've made the necessary changes. In my mind, you're asking me if we're better. I mean, we have to see if we're better. Obviously, along with my staff, we're the ones that made these changes, and you can see the type of players that we have signed. We are not the same team as we were last year. We have a different makeup to our team. We certainly have a little bit more physicality, a little bit more grit, and I think it's probably and hopefully a better mix than we had last year.
That was Nashville Predators general manager David Poyle yesterday discussing the moves he's made in free agency. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, it's been a busy week for the Nashville Predators. They traded Bonino, bought out Kyle Turris, brought in Luke Cunning, Nick Cousins, Brad Richardson, Mark Borowiecki, and Matt Benning, all added to the fold on the NHL side of things. Much different, kind of a different fold. I mean, David Poyle brought up the word element probably about 12 times yesterday in his press conference, referring to being physically tougher, having more grit to the lineup, being harder to play against. The question now is, are they better? Are they a better team right now? And you look at their roster, and we talked about it a little bit, I think there are still some holes there from a scoring perspective that we'll see whether or not they fill. But you heard the comments by Poyle there, and it seems to me that while he didn't commit to being done in free agency and says, you know, he's still taking calls and they've still got a lot of cap space that they're able to work with, if they are done and this is the route they choose to go, it sounds like David Poyle would be comfortable going that route.
This surprises me.
Yeah.
And so I'm first of all, raise my hand, say I wish I was part of this press conference. So I'm going to raise my hand and complain again. But Vrabel, Poyle, and Jerry Stackhouse all had Zooms at the exact same time yesterday.
Still whining.
I'm just trying to explain because I'm about to ask you some questions about the presser that I wouldn't normally have to ask you. But now I'm going to have you have to do a secondary subset presser to the Poyle presser for me. because I was on.
It's adding more work to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just was. It was Vanderbilt Basketball Media Day, so I did that. You know, Kyle Tucker was on with Vrabel. I knew you and Vingan were on with Poyle. So did anyone ask specifically about Mike Hoffman?
No one asked specifically about Mike Hoffman. He was asked specifically about Taylor Hall. And basically what Poyle said was, I don't want to get into specifically who we talked to, but did make the point after that to say, hey, we were on the phone a lot. We had a lot of options. We were out there, but we were on the phone a lot. So I kind of read in between the lines there, and I think there was some contact with Taylor Hall.
Yeah. So who's going to get Mike Hoffman? Boston?
I mean, look, he's still being rumored to the Preds. It came out yesterday. Apparently Hoffman's looking for a one-year deal at this point, which is not all that surprising. Like, I think that's just the way that people are going to go this year and see if the cap bounces back up at the end of next season. But Mike Hoffman's still out there, still available to the Predators should they choose to go that route. And like I said, David Poyle did not close the door on being, you know, just completely being done in free agency. But if they're not going to go that route, and this is the route they go with, who in the world is going to play with Matt Duchene? I asked David Poyle about that yesterday in his press conference. Here's what David Poyle had to say.
I think we got to try once again to get the best two lines that we can get. And just talking with John a little bit, I think that most people think that we should give Luke Cunningham the best chance to be playing with Matt Duchene, with the thought process, as you stated, to keeping Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson as a line. And then I think you have lots of candidates to play on that second line. You have the obvious choice in my mind, at least in the long run, and that would be Tolvanen, you know, a goal scorer, you know, very, very dangerous player. That to me is probably one of the best guys we have, you know, for that position on a, in the long run. Maybe it's Philip Tomasino. But within our group, and this is where I think the change has to be, is that we need a lot of guys that, regardless of where they start or play, they need to be moving up and down the lineup based on need, based on opponent, based on schedule. And I'm talking about almost everybody. You know, Nick Cousins could go up there. It could be Yarncroft that's done that before. It could be Colton Sissons. It could be a younger player like Trennan, because we want more size and physicality on our top two lines.
So that's what David Poyle had to say yesterday about who's going to play with Matt Duchene. And I don't think that's a huge surprise as the roster is currently constructed. I had Tolvanen and Cunningham being the two guys when we kind of went through the lineup the other day. But when you start diving into Yarncroak and Sissons playing on the second line, no disrespect to those two guys. I think they're good players. But I've seen that. That's not a viable option to me. I don't think those guys belong on the second line. And again, that's
great.
It's not a knock on those guys, but they're just not second line players, in my opinion. I think if you go this route, if you're the Predators, you're putting a whole lot of eggs in the basket of Eli Tolvanen. And that could work. I mean, maybe he's ready. We talked about yesterday from a skill set standpoint. I think he's got some tools that make that very intriguing. But if he's not, you're in serious trouble at that point.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look, I just look at the whole thing and I say, I understand. I totally agree with the idea that David Poyle is talking about and has talked about in terms of grit, in terms of physicality. That's certainly, I think that the lack of that has offset some of their skill and has diminished them. But they still need people who can score the puck. And I don't look at this, like you said. I mean, if Tolvanen's ready to come in here just blazing, okay, well, then it looks a little different. Top line could be great. If I look at this cap space and it's like, I'd be disappointed if I were a Preds fan if this team doesn't spend more money. You know, go get somebody. I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, Hoffman seems to be the only thing out there that's really that attractive anymore. And if they were in on Taylor Hall, as it appears they were, you know, clearly they had that thought too. I guess I'm just now, there's obviously always stuff we don't know about the Hoffman situation, but does it sound like it's almost conceding that he's just not interested in them?
I don't know.
Or maybe they're not interested in him for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, I think Hoffman's going to have a lot of suitors for a one-year deal. Look, I like Mike Hoffman. But there is a significant drop. I know we've had a couple people say there's not a huge drop-off between Taylor Hall and Mike Hoffman. There's a pretty big drop-off between Taylor Hall and Mike Hoffman.
Maybe not between banged-up Taylor Hall and Mike Hoffman.
But I mean, like Mike Hoffman is not going to me, be the difference in you coming in and competing for a Stanley Cup or not. But he certainly helps in the top six right now.
I'm just talking about making the playoffs.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Like, I think you look at that second line right now, and you are counting on Luke Cunnan to take a huge step and counting on Elie Tolvanen to come in and do something that we have not seen him do at the NHL level. And by the way, you're counting on Matt Duchene to come in and play a ton better than he played last year
while giving him those two guys.
So it's a huge predicament to me for the Predators and David Poile. But the point was brought up several times yesterday in the press conference about the four guys we've spent a ton of time talking about, and that is Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Duchene. Really, regardless of the moves that they make, those four guys, they're going to have to be a ton better than they were this time last year. And I asked David Poile yesterday specifically about Ryan Johansson. He has been a guy that we even saw it in the Arizona series. When he's on, he's probably the most dominant player on the ice. How do you bring that out of him more often in the regular season? Here's what David Poile had to say about that.
I think you acknowledged, or in terms of doing our jobs, that we were not happy with, some of our players last year, and and specifically some of our top forwards in terms of their production, their overall consistent play. So that went into a lot of conversations at the pause, and as we got ready to get back in the play-in, there's been some conversations in the off season. And again, it's a challenge, but there's a lot of pressure too for these top guys. And Joey's name that you mentioned, to play at a higher level and on a consistent level. Like, again, I can make all the changes in terms of grit and physicality, and what I've done. But if the top players do not play like top players, we're not going to be as successful as we should be. So you said it. I mean, Joey's very talented. Some nights he can be the best player. He needs to do that on a more regular basis. And that's what we've asked him to do. And I was very happy with his play in the play-in. He seemed to be really, really determined, really consistent. I thought he and his line mates totally outplayed Arizona in terms of their dominance when they were on the ice. And if we can get that first line production.
So that's what David Poile had to say about Johansson and that top line. The question becomes to me after that, even if those guys stay together and you put those three guys together and they play in the dominant fashion that we've seen them play, let's be honest, the majority of their careers when they've been together, when you look down the rest of the lineup, is that enough? Is that enough at this point? I tend to think no. So I still, it's hard for me to believe that whether it's in free agency or whether David Poile is kind of biding his time, seeing what some other teams go through from a cap perspective and some deals that may be presented to him, I think they're going to use the cap space. It just may not be in free agency. Maybe it is. Again, he did not close the door on that yesterday. There are a lot of teams around the league, like Vegas, that are in a bind right now from a salary cap standpoint, and they've got to get cap compliant by the end of the year or by the start of next season. I wonder if David Poile could swing a deal and bring in somebody that way.
No, that's an interesting point. Dan Rosen also brought the point, of course, like Taylor Hall, for example, depending on where you may be at the trade deadline, there's always that next season too, as you go through the season and all that. And look, there are guys who could surprise us. I mean, on paper, we thought a certain thing about last year's team, the last few couple teams.
Exactly.
Didn't play out. I think in part because of some of these lacking intangibles. So now they've worked on the intangibles. We still don't know how this whole mix will come together. I think you have to keep an open mind on this team. I mean, I could see a scenario where it all works out and it's better than we think. But on paper, I just don't see enough goal scoring.
I don't either. Now, the other side of that quickly that I'll say is I feel better about the defense right now than I felt in a long time. I think from the all six you can play on the penalty kill, that is huge.
Yeah.
And that third pairing is just better. I mean, it's just better than it has been. And I'm interested to see how big of a difference that makes too as well. So going to be interesting to watch the Predators. That was an interesting press conference yesterday from David Poile. It kind of left me just kind of perplexed of if they're done or not. I thought for sure heading into it that there were still a couple more moves that he might make, and maybe he still does, but I'm not as convinced coming away from that he's going to. So going to be interesting to monitor from that standpoint. When we come back, it's that time of the week we bring in our good buddy Ryan McGee from ESPN, also co-host of Marty and McGee. We got some college football, a big Alabama-Georgia matchup heading up this weekend. We'll get into that next with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN 102.5 The Game.